And well, we are doing a study of what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. And tonight we're at verse 13. We're not going to do the whole verse. We're just going to do part of it. Next Wednesday night, we'll wrap up this series. But I hope that you are incorporating these principles into your daily prayer life. You know, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, lived a life like no other. Such a powerful life. He was powerful in prayer. We see his example in Scripture that many times he prayed. He went out to be alone, to pray, to be with his Father. And he fulfilled all that his Father had for him to do. Prayer has to be a priority in our lives if we're going to really live the life that God has for us, and if we're going to fulfill all that God has for us to do. It has to be a priority in our life. Jesus says, pray like this. Matthew 6:9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus teaches us this is how we should pray. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, so that we can overcome in all of life's battles. He teaches us to pray for God's guidance through life, through all of the temptations and tests and trials of life. I believe this is an important part of our daily prayer life that a lot of believers just leave out. You know, if I get in a desperate situation, if the enemy attacks, and if I find myself in a mess, and I was tempted and I messed up, and well, you know, the Lord's there. That's what last week was about, right? Forgive us our debts. And that's wonderful. But let me tell you something. We don't have to crash and burn. We don't have to blow it. We don't have to turn to him in that time when everything is already a big, huge mess. But instead, we can pray this prayer. And you see, this is part of the deception of the devil, is that, oh, you know, this ain't going to be one of those days. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be cool. We don't need to pray such things. Jesus taught us to pray this way. You know what that means? That means it's really, really important. And there is a whole lot of arrogance in the body of Christ in the church in America today. A whole lot of pride. And it is messing people up. Messing up their walk with God. Messing up their life. Because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I'm telling you, part of the reason that we don't pray this part of the prayer, it is just simply that. It's pride. How we need the Lord's help. You know. Daily. Why should we struggle and fail when he provides guidance and protection? How we need the Lord's help to avoid temptation, to avoid destruction and heartache and overcome. See, without the Lord's help, we're always going to find ourselves falling into temptation, being deceived, giving the enemy of our soul an opportunity against us. Listen, something happens when we pray. You absolutely have to believe this. Now, I'm not talking about just being religious and, you know, going through the motions of prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. When people really pray in faith, something happens. Something happens. There is a result from that prayer. There is a result from praying this, what we're talking about tonight. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's a result that comes when you pray that. There's also a result when you don't pray it. And you see, as long as the enemy can deceive you and convince you, oh, it doesn't really matter, he's getting the best of you. You're enduring things, going through things, messing things up that you didn't have to. Because there's a result when you pray, and there's a result when you don't. We don't like to hear those kinds of things. We like to talk in our culture, we like to talk about personal responsibility. Until it's us. And here's the thing. This is our responsibility. Is that we pray. And we pray the way Jesus taught us to. Because I can tell you this. If Jesus said to pray this way, it's powerful. And it's important. And we shouldn't miss it. Something happens when we pray. This verse is kind of confusing, I think, to a lot of people. And we just need to talk about it for just a minute because we kind of lose something in much or many of the English translations when it says, lead us not into temptation. It seems to almost imply that if we don't pray, then God is going to lead us into temptation. But we can get out of that temptation by asking God, hey, don't lead me into that. I want you to understand that is not at all what Jesus is inferring here, because the Lord will never lead you to be tempted with evil. The Lord doesn't do that. That's not what this verse is actually saying. And I know that because you always interpret the scripture in the light of other scripture. And James 1:13 says, God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So God doesn't take you and put you in the place where you're going to be tempted to do evil. You may get there on your own, but it wasn't God that led you there. And that's not really what we're asking when we say, lead us not into temptation. We're not saying, hey, God, don't lead me into that. You know you were going to, but don't, because I asked. No, when we say, lead us not into temptation, we're asking God to help us avoid the temptation. We're asking God to show us how that we can navigate through life, through the minefields of life, safely. James also tells us that when we're tempted to sin, it is because we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And we're all well aware, we're all familiar with that. That old sin nature still tries to raise its ugly head and get you going the wrong direction. But by faith, we're crucified with Christ. And as we live by the Spirit, we can overcome that old nature. But listen, we need to pray. Now, here's a few other translations that maybe make that phrase a little simpler for us. Torrey translates it as, and let us not yield to temptation. Robertson renders it, do not allow us to be led into temptation. And Phillips translates it, keep us clear of temptation. And there's the prayers that we're asking God to help us to stay out of the place of temptation, to avoid temptation, asking for divine guidance. Now, there's also two meanings to the word temptation in the scripture. Many times it's talking about like when Eve was tempted to sin. Tempted to do evil. But also the word tempt or temptation also many times is referring to a test or a trial. A lot of the times the English translators even now will translate it as test or trial depending on the context. And that's how you know which one it's talking about is the context. But tonight when he's talking about don't lead us into temptation, he's talking about being tempted to do evil. And I want to talk about those tests and trials for just a minute, because I got to tell you, there's no way around those. You know, God's not going to take away all of our tests and trials. I know that because the Lord Jesus himself was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. I know that because the Lord certainly tested Abraham when he asked him to to sacrifice his only son. And I'll tell you, it's so true. When you're going to serve God, especially if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have some tests and trials, and sometimes it's going to be difficult. But when God tests us, it's for the purpose of developing us, developing our character, our faith, bringing us closer to Him, helping us to become more like Him. But He never leads us into the place to be tempted with evil. He never tempts us to sin. But God does use tests and trials. Let me just read to you a little bit about the story of Abraham. When God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac, that promised son that he had waited so long for, the test was designed to disclose and to prove. Now, when we say prove, that doesn't mean like, hey, prove it to me. That means prove as in something that's refined in the fire. It's tested, it's proved, it gets purer. So this Abraham, he passed the test. He was called the friend of God because of his great faith. But Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 says this about him. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding, to see, this is what Abraham concluded, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You see, Abraham passed that test. And a lot of the time, we're going through tests and trials, and some scriptures call them temptations, but just understand, no matter how much we pray, we can't get out of all of those where we never go through one. And I want you to know that, because people get disillusioned when tests and trials come, and they're like, hey, I'm serving God, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm even praying. Now this happens. James 1, 2 through 4. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I just feel like this is necessary. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I think in the King James it says divers temptations, but it's talking about trials here. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See how God just develops us through those tests and trials. And one of the phrases here that I just despised for so long, in my old age I'm starting to learn to like it or love it a little, is that you count it all joy. But know this, it is for the trying of your faith to work something in you. It is not to destroy you. No, you can trust God when you're going through a test or a trial. You can count it joy. Don't think that God has failed you because you're going through something. But this prayer we're talking about tonight is simply saying, today, when I face temptation or a test, a trial, guide me, deliver me, keep me through it. Don't let the evil one have his way. Don't let the evil one take an advantage of me in any way. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want to say one more time, you know, in the previous verse, we talked about forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But I just want to say, though, that any sincere Christian who says, forgive me, Lord, then the natural progression in the next part of your prayer is, help me overcome. Keep me, lead me in the right direction where I'm not in temptation, where I don't lose where I don't go there again, maybe. But prayer is so much the key. Leonard Ravenhill once said, a praying man will stop sinning, a sinning man will stop praying. Which one are you going to do more? Jesus told the disciples on the night he was betrayed, Luke 22:40, pray that you may not enter into temptation. See, Jesus knew about the battle. He knew all that was going to happen to them. He knew all of the fears and everything they were going to go through. And so he tells them, pray so you won't enter into temptation. And of course, we know the story. They fell asleep. And he said, you couldn't even tarry with me for 1 hour. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But Jesus said, pray so you don't enter into temptation. And he tells us in the Lord's Prayer, pray, don't lead me into temptation. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know that we need to always be ready. I've heard preachers tell some of the goofiest stuff about this verse of scripture. They say he ain't got no teeth. Well, the scripture says that he goes about looking for somebody to devour. So somehow he's devouring people. And unless you have your head stuck in the sand somewhere, you see it every day. You see people's lives that are messed up or destroyed. It's the work of Satan. People want to say it's God. It's the work of Satan. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But you need to understand this. You have an adversary. He is out to get you. Listen, this isn't some little, nursery story thing like, oh, isn't that a cute little... No, he's real and he's against you. And one of the ways that he gets an inroad in your life that he can come in and wreak havoc is when you are tempted and you do the wrong thing. Prayer is how we avoid being caught off guard. We are asking that he would help us stay away from those pitfalls and overcome. David prayed this in Psalm 19:13. Here's how David prayed. He said, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous, that's where you're just intentional about it. You know what you're doing. He said, let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. I don't know if this was before or after. I'm kind of thinking it may have been after, because here's one thing I know. The day that David went up on the rooftop and saw Bathsheba bathing, I don't think he prayed this prayer that day. Oh, man. You're driving down the freeway. Somebody cuts you off. I was watching some of these videos. People, all these video cameras on cars nowadays. All these people just do crazy stuff. And of course, all of us, if you've driven in DFW very long, you've experienced some of it personally. But there came a time a few years ago when one day it was so bad, I realized that it was Satan who was baiting me. And in my sense of justice, right is right, wrong's wrong. And I realized, though, I was being set up. What if we prayed before we made that drive? And we said, Lord, keep us safe, but also we prayed, help me to avoid the temptation. Deliver me from the evil one, because he is always looking for an opportunity to get an advantage of you. We are in a spiritual battle. This is real. And Jesus is really getting into it here when he tells us that you would be delivered from the evil one. Pray you'll be delivered from the evil one. Do you believe you need to pray that? See, this is where some of that arrogance comes in. Oh, I got power over the devil. He can't do anything to me. I don't care. You're nothing without him. Amen. That's all there's. You're nothing without him. Right. Now, if that rubs you the wrong way, you need to be rubbed the wrong way. Because I'm telling you, without him, we're nothing. Right. You see, we need him. We need him every day. It's pride and arrogance. We say, oh, I don't need to do that. Yes, you do. Jesus said to pray this way. I'm going to pray this way. Satan, the evil one, the father of lies. He's the parent of evil. I like the old song. It says it pretty plain. Many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour. Absolutely true. But our Father in heaven is so much greater. Deliver us from the evil one. This is where we ask our Father to guide us and protect us. You see, he sees what we don't see. He knows what we don't know. You don't even know what might face you today. Not only you don't know what test, what trial, you don't know what temptations you might face. Here's how you deal with it. You pray ahead of time and you ask the Father, because something happens when you pray this and something happens when you don't pray it. And so you pray. We're asking him to keep us safe from the evil one. Keep us safe through all the battles, the storms of life. You know, in this world, you can just be having a good day, walking along, carefree, all happy. And all of a sudden, you can get blindsided by an attack from the enemy. But our God delivers us from the evil one. Psalm 23, I want to read it to you tonight. It speaks to what we're talking about. When you're talking about, you know, lead us not into temptation or lead us away from temptation, help us avoid temptation, you're talking about being led, and then you're talking about being delivered from the evil one. We're talking about guidance and protection, and I see this so strong in the 23rd Psalm. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, first of all, the Lord is my shepherd. We need to say to ourselves, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd too. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I just want you to understand that if we're allowing the Lord to lead us, he's not going to lead us into temptation. He's going to lead us into a place of peace and safety. Amen. I'm not telling you you're not going to have any battles, but I'm telling you that God will keep you. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not into temptation, but in a path of righteousness. We just got to allow him to lead. He always leads in the right way. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It might look really bad, but you don't have to be afraid when your Father is leading you. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wow. Even with enemies all around, God prepares a feast for you. He's taking care of you. You don't have to be afraid. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even in the presence of the enemy, he's taking care of us. Our adversary is a master schemer. He's always working against us, trying to discourage us, trying to get us off course. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. You need to know that you have an adversary. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Now tonight, I don't have time to teach on the armor of God. But I just want you to see here that we need to be prepared for the schemes of Satan. He's always working against us. He wants to steal our blessings. He wants to kill our faith. He wants to destroy the plan and purpose and call of God in your life. And get this. He knows your weakness. He's a master deceiver. We need the Lord's help. What's the key to spiritual warfare? Prayer. After he tells us to put on the whole armor of God for this battle, then in verse 18, the very next thing he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is why you put the armor on. Then you're ready for spiritual battle in prayer. Praying always. Praying always. I'm just telling you, you want to overcome? You want to see? You want to put the devil on the run? Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, Satan works against us with our own weaknesses and desires. Remember, the book of James says that everyone is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't care what the comedian says, the devil can't make you do anything. That old devil made me do it. But he sure can set you up. I believe that's what happened to David. He walked up on that rooftop and saw that beautiful woman. And God forgave him. But it brought so much heartache and trouble into his life. Our Father delivers from evil. Now, many times in the scripture, the word evil not only speaks of sin, but it also speaks of calamity and destruction. And I want to read to you from Psalm 91 tonight in the light of this, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. Here it is, Psalm 91. If you didn't get your Bible reading in today, well, you got it in tonight. So there you go. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. We're praying. See, we're supposed to pray this. Deliver us from the evil one. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And from the perilous pestilence, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. I just want you to understand, these promises, as fantastic as they are absolutely available to us, that we can have that place in the Lord where he watches over us. We don't have to be afraid of the evil one. We don't have to be afraid of the evil in this world. Our God is much bigger. In verse 9, he says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Now, I want you to remember this. He's talking about the secret place. And then he says, your dwelling place. He says, no evil, deliver us from evil. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, So we're talking about the one who dwells in the secret place. We're talking about that one that has made the Lord his refuge. And we're talking about the one who's set his love upon him. Therefore, I will deliver him. There it is again. I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'm just telling you that our Heavenly Father will take care of us if we will look to him and trust him, but it's not automatic. A lot of people try to claim these promises when they don't fulfill the conditions. And I'm telling you, this is available to us, but we need to be one of those that dwells in the secret place. We need to be one of those who has set our love upon him. And I got to tell you, none of that intimate relationship happens without prayer. We got to be a praying people. This is all available to us, but it needs to be daily that we pray, and we pray this: lead me away from temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation. No one is above failing or falling. And then if we put our trust in our own strength, we will surely find ourselves in trouble. I quoted it once, Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And I'm just telling you that pride so often is the sin that births so many others. And tonight, I want to encourage you, get the pride out of your heart that you really need your Father to lead you, to guide you, and protect you every day. First Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look at 12 and 13. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You see, when we think, I got this, we're in trouble. No, it's always, Lord, I need your help. If anybody thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he falls. God is the one who's able to make you stand. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. See, Satan always wants people to think that God has let them down, that God has been unfair to them. We need to remember that God is faithful, but God is faithful, and he will make a way for your deliverance. Listen to this. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is the awesome power and the knowledge and wisdom of our God, that whatever we're going through, he is well able to make a way of escape, a way of deliverance, so that we can come out in victory, whatever it is that we're facing. So what if the Lord ordered our steps through the day? How much better would that be if we were always looking to him for guidance, depending on him? I mentioned praying this before you make a drive. What if you prayed this before you got on the internet? What if you prayed this before you dealt with that difficult person? I mean, there's 1,000 situations. And here's the thing. See, what I don't know what it is, that situation you need to pray this before you handle or you deal with or go through. But here's the thing. A lot of the time, we don't even know ourselves. We don't know. We don't know all that's going to happen. We don't know what attack of the enemy he might be trying to plan and scheme and work against us. But our Father does. And that's why we pray this every day. Every day. Temptation is not something you deal with just with human willpower. No, we need God's help. He strengthens us. He gives us the power that we need. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. That couldn't be any clearer, could it? He protects us. He keeps us. He delivers us out of temptation and evil. All of us have found ourselves in the place of temptation, in the wrong place at the wrong time. We've all stepped on one of those landmines of life. We've all messed up. We've all said things we shouldn't have said. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. I mean, it just happens to all of us. But here's the thing. There's a better way. We pray and ask for God's help every day to lead us away from temptation and to deliver us from the evil one. Keep us out of that path and out of Satan's schemes against us. I hope that you will take this with you tonight and incorporate it into your prayer life. Not just that day when you know you need it, but every day. Stand with me. We're going to pray.